Happy solstice to everybody as we celebrate our winter solstice. And Joy Melchizedek, her and I were talking about doing another program the last time we did one. And now, of course, it was Morgan Le Fay. And that was very interesting and informative. So Joy is with me, and we're going to do Revealing the Hidden Goddesses with some special guests today. How are you, Joy?
I'm pretty darn good. How are you? Happy solstice.
Well, happy solstice to you. I am enjoying the shortest day of the year, the shortest day of sunlight. It is fantastic.
And good.
And I'm thinking, well, tomorrow we're going to start heading back to more daylight. But this is a special day, and I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about it and our guests that we have today.
Okay, wonderful. First, TJ, thank you again for having me back and agreeing to have all of us come on the show and share some of the hidden goddess information that hasn't been available to anyone. So thank you very
much. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. And today, there are four women from a moon goddess circle kind of class that we do once a month during the full moon. We come together and we share the hidden goddesses that were lost during the destruction of the temples. Remember all that, TJ, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, of course you do. You were there. And
a couple of times.
Yes, a couple of times. That's right. So, but what we're doing is working with the reemergence of the divine feminine, and this is one way that we're doing it. Now, I know a lot of you have already heard of Mary Magdalene, and she's done her great comeback, and the goddess Sophia. And these are some of the names that are becoming more prevalent. And what our group does is we're actually sharing some of the hidden names that you never hear of. Some of the names are very hard to pronounce. The destruction of the temples sometimes were so complete that it's very, very hard to find their stories. But we're doing our best, and we each are going to share two stories, and the women's names that are coming in for this show are Susie, Barb, Sherry, and Gloria, in that order. So I'm just giving you the lowdown on that before we start. And I thought that I would share the names of the two goddesses that I felt called to bring forward today. Okay, you're with us, TJ?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it's story time now, right? The first one is called Kunapaipai, an ancient mystery goddess. She is connected with the Aboriginal people of Australia and worshipped as the mother goddess. She's known as being eternally pregnant. This great mother of the north of Australia is known to have existed before all things were created. So she's very, very ancient. She gave birth to humanity, animals, and plants. Her body contains secret caves in which her followers worship. So if you think of the earth as part of the aspect of her, a long time ago, it was she who came in dream time from a sinking land to establish herself and her followers. And it was she who brought the ancestors to the land, teaching them the lines of the Dreamtime songs. So she was also very connected to Dreamtime. She is also very linked to sacred places on the earth. So once in a lifetime, too, she's also known for bringing forth something called the song, where she sings and introduces the initiates to their twin souls. So as this occurs, these connections are made. And then at the end of the worshiper's life, what she does is she brings through the rituals and all the old ways of bringing together the souls and the heroes and heroines and the twin flames. They reconnect. She helps bring that together when souls make transition. Her power animal is the rainbow serpent. And it's interesting because this particular rainbow energy went before her when she came into being to create what she was here to create. So if you think of the rainbow symbolic of everything coming together in oneness, and the serpent is a lot of times seen as the energy of shamans or the kundalini energy, which helps to raise the spiritual energy, and all this was linked to her. The lands where she is known to have existed are the New Zealand, Hawaii, Australia, and, the Polynesian islands, too. So this is Kuna Pai Pai, and it's spelled K-U-N-A-K-I-K-I, and she's an ancient mystery goddess. So I think she's got a lovely story. And the second goddess I have is called Yakamai, and she is she's a legendary figure. She's connected with the sea serpent to which young women have been sacrificed. She's actually the one who, in mythology, went after the serpent and destroyed it. She's from the Asiatic society. There's really not a lot on her. A lot of times she's seen as a myth, but remember, myths have elements of truth. So in this particular story, she was pursued by 81 brothers, and what happened was all these brothers were vying for her attention and everything, and the one that she chose was the one that was being very kind to a rabbit. So she chose kindness over everything else, money, power, whatever. She's also known as a princess, and she hasn't been mentioned indirectly of a partner, which is very interesting because during that time, it was almost as if the majority of the story about her independent power was completely wiped out. Now she's speaking again, and there's hardly anything written about her, but this is pretty much what came to light. So her name is Yakamai. It's spelled Y-A-K-A-M-I, and she's Asiatic in society. Okay, so there's two goddesses, and next up, I think we have Susie.
Yep, I'm here.
Susie, do you want to share?
Yep, my first goddess is Amaterasu, and she's Japanese, and she is considered both a maiden and a mother goddess, as she has many children, and she maintains the fire and the passion of a younger woman. Now, there was some interesting things that drew me to Amaterasu, and one is she's considered the sun goddess, and she's in charge of the grain and weaving silk, and she has, again, many, many children. And there is actually an interesting story, and I was very interested in this, especially at solstice time, since she's the goddess of the sun. She had a brother in mythology, and his name was Susano, the god of storms. Well, he was very jealous of his sister, and he wreaked havoc on her rice fields and temples. And one day, Amasutra and her maidens were sitting in a circle, and they were weaving, and her brother destroyed a horse and dropped it right in the middle of the room. And obviously this caused a lot of commotion and terror. And one of her very favorite maidens pierced herself, and she ended up dying. Well, Amasutra was so upset by her brother's bad behavior that she fled to a cave, and she took the sun with her. So there was darkness in the world. And her children, her 8 million children, crowded around the cave, and they tried and tried many, many things to coax her out of the cave. Well, finally, one of her, the goddesses of merriment and laughter climbed on top of a tub and began to dance, a crazy dance. And as it was, all the children were laughing hysterically at what was the commotion that was going on. And Amasutra peeked out from the cave, and her children earlier had hung up a mirror for her so that when she saw herself and she realized how beautiful she was and how wonderful the sunlight was, she would come out. And she saw how beautiful she was, and the other gods quickly sealed the cave so that she could not go back in. And so once again, light was brought to the world. She also favors the 12 animals of the zodiac. They're all sacred to her. And also silkworms due to the weaving. And she also favors the wolves. And she is very compassionate and loving. And she's always there to lend a hand. So that would be Amasutra. And my second goddess is Nais. And she is the warrior goddess. She's an ancient Egyptian goddess of weaving, again, hunting, and war. And she's considered one of the earliest goddesses in Egyptian history. She was the goddess of war and of hunting, and her symbol is two arrows crossed over a shield. And she's considered a fierce deity. A female who wears a red crown, which is very interesting because red is passion. In her form as the goddess of war, she also makes weapons, but she also guards bodies when they die in war. She's normally shown to carry a scepter, which is the symbol of life. And she's also considered the cow of heaven, and she's which is similar to Nut, another goddess. The cow of the heaven actually is considered life, the milk of life. Neith is identified as also a great mother goddess and also creator, because she also is androgynous and is capable of giving birth without a partner. Let's see. She's a female deity that also personifies primal waters and creation and giving birth without the opposite sex. She is one of the ancient deities, again, in ancient Egyptian culture. Let's see. And she's considered to be one of the ancient goddesses. And there you have it. That's Nais.
That's wonderful. Susie, when you were coming through and picking the goddesses you picked, were you able to feel connection with these particular goddesses?
I felt the Amaterasu. I felt the Japanese connection and the light connection with her very, very much. And identify with her because I feel that I have Asian connections.
Yes. I hear you. It's amazing as we study the goddesses, TJ, how there's something inside of us that takes on the connection in such a way. I hear how people actually have experiences with the goddesses as we study them, which is really pretty profound.
Can I ask you, Susie, would you mind if I jump in and ask a question?
Nope, go right ahead.
Do you feel drawn to this maybe from another time as well? Like there was a time maybe that you were connected to this when you were in a physical body in some way?
I do very much. I'm definitely drawn to the Asian culture. I also have two daughters that I've adopted from Asia, and I feel that whole the goddess, the reincarnation, previous life is definitely in my past.
Very interesting. And now it's bringing forward to give us an opportunity to balance things out. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so next we have Barb. Hi, Barb. Barb?
Is she still with us?
Barb? I don't know. I wonder if she got cut off.
She might have silenced her phone and cut off accidentally.
Huh? Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
I forgot to unmute.
It's okay. I've done that. It's no problem. So, TJ, this is Barb, and she's going to share some of her stories.
The first goddess that I was really drawn to was Changing Woman, and it's spelled just as it is written. And she's from the Navajo people and the mother of nature. She's identified with creation and protection from evil beings, known also for her fertility and reproduction. In fact, she's known as the preeminent mother because she created mankind from her own epidermis. And that brings me to relate to what we know primarily in this area of God, that he created us in his image. So being the creator, the mother of nature, she's also known as movement and fluidity. And I relate to the river because I was recently introduced to the Susquehanna River as its sacredness. And it has had a profound effect upon me because it's the washing and the cleansing and the movement over the ground and the obstacles of which we encounter. And it's showing me that water representing power and emotions, it's learning how to master your own emotions, but not through control, but that of honoring the divine part of you and allowing things to wash through and you keep moving. So it's about not getting stuck and learning to feel the power of rejuvenation, which she is very well known for. As Changing Woman has gone through the seasons, she starts out in the spring as a young girl and ends up in the time of winter as an old woman curled in a ball. But with her ability to rejuvenate, she can go back to the essence of being young. And this has many layers of symbolism in it. And in with my life, it's learning that no matter what devastation you go through or challenges that you have, with looking at it with this essence of her being taking on it and being near this water, which represents our soul, and connecting to it, you can let it go and understand that these are experiences we're having and learn its lesson and move on. And so, yes, I have related very closely to this Changing Woman. The other goddess that I came across is called Owiha from the Iroquois people. Her name representing being giver of life. And her symbols, the turtle and seeds, for she is the goddess of the sky, the earth, and heaven. Every picture that I have seen of her, she's always surrounded by wolves, so that has a strong significance. The story goes that she grabbed seeds and animals as she fell from heaven. She landed on the back of a great turtle and scattered the seeds and freed the animals, resulting in a great fertile earth filled with beauty. And what I love is that she has given rituals to us for us to find our essence of productivity in our life. And a ritual that anyone can do is you simply take a handful of grass seed, and as you're doing a chant or a ritual dance, you let them fly through the wind, and this will help in your life and in the earth that surrounds you produce more of a manifestation of productivity. The other thing that is so wonderful is strawberries in represent to her and pave the road to heaven. And when you eat them, it stores a long life and that of fertility. And that doesn't necessarily mean having children, because I'm at the age now where that's not going to happen. But the fertility in my life means all of things that are happening that bring me joy and move me forward and have me have a feeling of fulfillment. The other thing that you can do with fresh strawberries, as she says, you can share them with your loved ones, and it'll bring in a community energy into your home, and it'll harvest powers for personal growth. And not to forget with her also, she teaches about defeats and challenges and the healing stages that result. With her name, Awiha, the first three letters are spelled A-W-E, and that's awe. So she's saying we're to look for the awe in all things, and that includes the challenges. That includes all the devastations or things, obstacles that we've had in our lives. Or you can choose to look at the awful. So it's a choice of perspective, and that's what all of the what we're living is, its perspective. So she's sharing with us through her presence to look at all the possibilities in life and to have gratitude and appreciation for everything and begin repairing and building. And just call on her, Goddess Awiha, to assist you. So I enjoyed both of these very much so.
Wonderful. Barb, since you became aware of both of these goddesses, is there one in particular that you had an experience with in a certain way that made you aware that that was her energy?
During times of meditation that I try to do every day and sometimes several times a day, I bring in at times these different goddesses, and Changing Woman has really allowed me to feel grounded and not so before sometimes I would feel feelings of floundering, you know, being wishy-washy, but it's being in that stillness and being grounded and assured that all is well.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you for sharing. Great story. Lovely energy,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
And next we have Sherry. Sherry?
Hello.
Hi. I know you're up to share your goddesses.
The first goddess is Bastet, and she's a goddess from ancient Egypt, also known as Eleuros in Greek mythology. And the thing that, of course, I like most about her is she's considered the protector of cats. So I'm a cat lover. She is often pictured with the head of a lioness, or at least initially was a lioness, and over the years she became a cat. The name of her, her name means she of the ointment jar, and one of the things that, you know, the ointments were for healing. And one of the things that I always think of as I'm holding my cats and they're purring is that they're healers. You know, and you know how cats, people just feel better when they have pets and when they're holding cats and cats are purring. Her name also comes from alabaster. So a lot of her statues are actually made in alabaster. When she changed into the cat goddess, which was, you know, in Greek history, they worshipped cats. And they said that like 300,000 cats were found in her tomb, mummified even. And a lot of the cats were buried beside their owners. So I don't think I'll go that far, but but I love that about her.
Right, that's good.
Yeah, she was also depicted as the Eye of Ra in part of Egypt. But they have a lot of alabaster jars topped with a lioness head, and that is those are symbols to her, lavish, beautiful jars. You know how the Egypts did. Mm. She also became associated with Anubis because of his embalming and her ointments. She was said to have been his wife at some point in time. And the town named after her was actually mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. Of course, the mentioning of it was that they were going to destroy it, but her temple is in a town called Pibeseth, which means per Bast. So or the house of Bast. And there's an interesting description of her temple, which is on an island that a river runs around both sides of it, and it's overshadowed by trees. It sounds really beautiful, with the stone wall with figures all around it, and when you hear about those temples, I think it's really incredible what they built. I don't know, you know, I guess there are remnants now that they've uncovered because they found all those cats mummified.
Wow.
Sherry, how do you spell her name?
I'm sorry.
How do you spell her name?
Bastet. She also became known as the goddess of the moon at a later point in time, or later, closer to us, rather than earlier, before. So it's interesting, too, how these goddesses change as they go through time. And I think that's also how women are in general. You know, we change as we go through time. I know I was much more feisty or lioness-like when I was younger, and now I'm more of a cat. Mm-hmm. little calmer.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun reading about her. And my other goddess is Saraswati. She's the goddess of knowledge and the arts. And I thought it was really interesting reading about her because I work in the arts and I work with numbers, and a lot of people say, how do you do both? But yet, you know, when I was looking at who were the goddesses of art, all of them were like art and knowledge and wisdom. And the arts today tend to be kind of separated from knowledge or wisdom. But she is the creator of the Sanskrit language. And if you've ever seen the Sanskrit language, it's very curvy, like when I saw it, it reminded me of bent wire, and I make stained glass jewelry, and I thought, I need to intentionally add some Sanskrit instead of just bent wire. And she also was known as helping Brahma to create the world because of her creativity. One of her characteristics was to remain pure, and that she didn't want to be impure. Brahma was always chasing her, and she didn't want to have a relationship with a man because she wanted to remain pure. She only wanted to birth creation and creative things. Those were her children. She is often portrayed on a white swan, and white swans, like Mother Goose, you know, are representing stories and language. And she also is portrayed with a peacock behind her. And the peacock is a symbol of art. And peacocks are extremely beautiful birds. Their feathers are very colorful, much more so than many other birds. So she was really interesting too. I thought it was interesting that she was so focused on her creations and creating not just words and art, but also music. So she's all about the arts, and so those are two of my favorite things, are art and cats. So that's why I picked those goddesses.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Makes sense. Yes. Does cats? Yep, and art. So I take it you related closely.
I did, obviously.
good. Okay. And now we have Gloria. Gloria, would you like to share? You may have to unmute yourself.
Yeah. Hi. The Hi. Goddesses I chose are Kali Bear, who's a Celtic triple goddess, and Hokmah, the goddess of wisdom. She is the comparison to Sophia in Hebrew. So I guess I'll start with Hokmah, the wisdom goddess. The description of Hokmah is that she's the mother of the stars and the seven planetary powers, greatly revered virgin of whom the Father was concealed from the beginning before he created anything. She who cast her shower on primeval waters, the queen, the lady wisdom, mother of all maternal being, she who sent her spirit in the form of the serpent, Orphis, to the earth to teach humanity to ignore the jealous God. The serpent was also called Christ. Fairer than the sun and above all constellations, goddess of heaven, understanding, compassion, and spiritual transformations, artificer and renewer of all things, all-powerful, all-surveying, she whose bright shining penetrates and pervades all things, light of knowledge, bestower of the spirit, mind and consciousness in humanity, holy inspirer of clearer thinking, especially in all matters of morality and religion, the matron and teacher of philosophers, the inspirer of poets, she who gathers the arts around her, and to whom she's sacred. Her symbol is the dove, the five planets. I guess there were only five planets then, the sun and the moon, the number seven, seven pillars, and her temple had seven pillars. She had two sons. In Hebrew, I'll try to say their name, Eldabaoth, the son of darkness, and the alternate name for Jehovah was Messias, anointed one savior, translated in Greek, Christos, by Jehovah. The advice from the goddess of wisdom was, you have everything you need, let go of all thoughts or envy and jealousy. If you find yourself restless or wanting, speak to me. I will clear away the dross of everything in your life to reveal the wisdom that is within you always. Celebrate your life, celebrate your goodness, and that of those around you. The other goddess I have is Caillich Burr, the genteel old lady of Scotland. She's the blue-faced hag of winter who ages in reverse from old lady, symbolizing winter, to young, lovely spring. The Caillich Burr of Ireland represents serenity over the land and is ancestors of many people. Like Dame Ragel in Arthurian legends, she appears to the heroes as a hideous old woman seeking love. As she gets it, she becomes a beautiful young woman. In legends dating from Christian times, she is sometimes said to be a nun, perhaps linked to the meaning of her name. Getting the Kalia and readings, if you get your reading done on a card, indicates a time of winter for you. And peer into your darkness to find your old and ancient bones. Her alternate names, Kalia Brer, Kalia Urangi, Kalia Bean Brick, O Woman of the Spectacle Mountain, Kalia Moore, Great Old Woman, Scotland, Kalia Bear, Kalia Bolas, Kalia Concoria Du, Kalia Na Grimaj, Kalia Nai Gershag, Isle of Man.
So, Gloria, in your discovery of these goddesses, was there anything that came through, either or one of them, that made you go, oh, that's me?
I don't know. Kalia Burr has a long history. I didn't finish it. Not only is she the hag's head of the southerner's tip of the cliff, she also has poems written for her, plays written for her. She's called the DG or the Deji of the Lament of the Old Woman, the Irish poem, in the Hunt of Seven Killian, and she has many tales written for her in Irish, Gaelic, and Scottish. She's the Bear Queen of Winter. She is credited with making numerous mountains and large valleys through Ireland and Scotland. When she strided across the land, she dropped rocks from her creel and her wicker basket, and that created the mountains as she strided through the country. So she's credited with so many different things. Also, she's credited with being carrying. She also has built the mountains intentionally to save her stepping stones. She carries a hammer for shaping the hills and valley, and is said to be the mother of all goddesses and gods. She has a partnership with Bridget. She is the winter. Bridget is the summer. The goddess Bridget. So Bridget's time is from May 1st to October 31st, and then Kalia takes over the winter. So she rules the winter, and Bridget rules the summer. And that's a legend in the Celtic world. Do I feel... Kalia has so many different aspects to her that I was really surprised when I had her, you know, I chose her. I never knew that she was such a big goddess plus a triple goddess, and that she was one of the oldest goddesses ever in the Celtic world. Also, she's known as Hag's Head, which everybody knows about Hag's Head, in Scotland and Ireland. They've heard about all these different places that she's has Gaelic mythology. So I was just really surprised.
Yeah, what I'm hearing too is Kalia and Bridget are sisters.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're both triple goddesses.
Yes. Very good.
And the other goddess I had was the Hebrew goddess, like Sophia.
Yep.
The more ancient goddess of Sophia.
Mm-hmm. And how do you spell her name?
Did I get it? H-O-K-H-M-A. Wisdom.
Hokama.
Hokama.
Yeah. Lovely. TJ, do you have any questions?
I just wanted to probably make a statement. First of all, that I thank you, all of you, for sharing this, because some of that really, you know, I can see myself in these different time periods connected to, like, the ancient Egypt. Was that Bastet, I believe, and Nais the warrior, and especially when Barb was talking about changing woman, one of my more recent lifetimes was as Native American out west, so I really connect to that. And then when Gloria, you were just talking about, was it Kalia Bear? Kalia Bear, right?
Yeah.
And my native totem is Bear. So fascinating stuff to me, ladies. Awesome. I really loved it. It was wonderful for you to share all that.
Yes, it really was, and I want to thank all of you for being willing to be visible and come on the air and share their stories and parts of your stories, too, because in the sharing of the stories, we're all one. So, and thank you, TJ, again, for having us all on.
You're more than welcome, Joan.
Absolutely. And I want to mention Magdalene for a moment, too. When she opened, a door opened that enabled more and more of the hidden goddesses to come forward. So I want to just remind our listeners that Magdalene's interview is still on your show and mine, right, TJ?
That is correct. And also, it is... Yep, it has its own website, too.
Yes, it does. And so if you're feeling inclined, you may want to listen in again. And I want to just thank the goddess and everyone present for listening in as well. Now, I know, TJ, I'm coming on the air again, right, to do some prediction things, right?
Whenever you want.
Next month, maybe.
Sure.
All right. So I'm sure We'll talk again, but I wanted to check and see before we go if anyone has anything they want to share about today. Or TJ, do you have any extra questions or anything?
I could probably ask about 100 or 200 questions right now, but that might might run things a little long because I was making notes as they were talking. But good. I just think it's wonderful that you were able to share these things because these have been hidden. And they're all really trying. Would you all agree that they're all really trying to bring forward the same thing to return us back to that balance?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. The lack of balance globally is linked to the hidden goddess. The agreement was the god and the goddess would allow for a patriarchal society to rule for 2,000 years. Excuse me, and if the masculine did not find a way to peace, the feminine would step forward, and that's what's happening. And in her stepping forward, she invites the masculine to walk in equality with her. That's a balanced feminine. So,
and I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you 100% on that.
Absolutely. Yep. So thank you for walking with us, TJ.
Well, I'm sitting right now, but I will walk with you later.
Well, we have it on film. We saw you out walking
okay,
one day.
That's good.
You know, so.
That's good. And we will do a show and whatever you want to do. And if any of you, Gloria, Sherry, Susie, Barb, if you ever want to do something as well, my door is always open. And I thank you very much for being a part of this.
Thank you, TJ.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, TJ.
You're welcome.
Talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Happy solstice, everyone.